Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Congressman Chris Gibson, you shocked a lot of people. You did what politicians never do. You announced in the beginning that you would only run for four terms. Now, after the third term and doing very well in the election, you announced, okay, this is the last time. You term limited yourself. Why'd you do that?
Well, I firmly believe in rotation of office, something right at the very beginning our founders certainly debated, talked about. It was actually in the Articles of Confederation. When we moved to the Constitution, it was not in the Constitution, but I don't think that's because they walked away from the idea. They just tried to craft a very narrow Constitution. We'll recall that even the Bill of Rights didn't come in the Constitution. It followed the first 10 amendments. Our first president believed in it so strongly that he self-imposed term limits. So we were always meant to be a self-governing people and not to have a political class. So believing in that, I self-imposed term limits. As you point out, I said the most I would serve was 8 years. I have chosen not to run the one final time, which I could have done according to my self-imposed term limits, in part because I could, I want to underscore could, or potentially be a statewide candidate in 2018. And in my view, I could not do both. I don't think that I could be a successful candidate statewide if I was at the same time a sitting member of Congress, you know, trying to move across 62 counties. I don't think I would do justice to the 11 counties that are the 19th congressional district. I wouldn't be the kind of congressman they've come to expect, desire, and certainly deserve.
Well, now you say you could, and I always take could as affirmation, but you could run for statewide office. What could that office be?
Well, you know, I would tell you at this point, Alan, I'm focused, and we'll get to the point, but I'm focused. I want to just say this. I'm focused on my service in the 114th Congress. We have a very aggressive agenda. I hope we're going to get an opportunity to talk about that. I put that in that press release as well. And in addition to working these myriad of priorities, I also believe that as a party, my party needs to do better as far as competing. So, and why do I believe that? This is something deeply held in terms of absolute power corrupts. And we have a situation in our state where my party has not been able to compete statewide. And, you know, you can talk about Moreland commissions. You can talk about ethics reform laws, and I support those. But more than anything, the thing that combats corruption is a viable two-party system. And so I've communicated with our party chairman, Ed Cox, and with others that there's so much more that we can be doing to make a better connection with voters. And so in addition to aggressively working the agenda for the 19th congressional district and being the best congressman that I can be, my team, I'm blessed with an incredible political team. You alluded to our recent successes. I want our team helping the state party to help us make a better connection with voters. Because, you know, you look at people say, well, Republicans can't win statewide in New York State. I disagree. In fact, I strongly disagree. Where you live, of course, Alan, in Massachusetts, deeply blue state, not a single Republican member of the U.S. House delegation, but yet a Republican governor. Maryland, a very deeply blue state today. Republican governor. Illinois, at least as blue as New York, maybe bluer Republican governor. I don't think that we've done the work necessary to make the connection with voters. I mean, across the entire state, not just upstate, but New York City and the suburbs. And I think that with more preparation, we can do that for our candidates.
Can you find the money could you find the money if you could run for office? I want to use the operative word you use.
Yes. You could. I absolutely believe that. But at least as important as that, quite frankly, more important is that we inspire people who are in a position to donate to give to this effort that would build out and make viable. Whether you be a Republican, independent, or Democrat, I think that you would have interest in seeing a viable two-party system because we have struggled in this state, not only economically, we have struggled with corruption. And again, you know, having a viable two-party system, in my view, in the read of history, is the best way to combat corruption. And go ahead.
Chris Gibson, when you run, let's just say, I'm just playing this out. I'm having fun doing it, frankly, because I have so much admiration for you. But let's just say you run for governor. There are people when you ran for Congress, even though you won overwhelmingly, who said, well, you know, he's going to vote for Boehner, which you didn't do, did you? You didn't vote for the speaker. He's going to vote for the Republican speaker to organize. But when you run for governor in New York State, people don't have that same concern, do they?
Well, I think...
Are you following my...
I do, and I do see your point. I think more than anything that the people in the state want to believe. They want to believe that our best days are still in front of us. They want to believe in the integrity of the office. They want to believe that the equal opportunity, the pledge that is American life, is one that's being strengthened, not weakened. And so they want to see policies that see growth, economic growth, not just for shareholders, but that is to say those who are in the financial services sector, but for everyone. I'm proud to have the support of the building construction trades, the teachers, you know, because in my view, you know, what the American dream, the reason why it really is a calling for those all around the world is because of the opportunity. And to do that, we need to change our approach in education. We need to change the underlying business environment to make it more conducive for growth, particularly for those who have a small business now in the state. So I think that there's an opening there, not only for the voters of upstate New York, but also for those in New York City and in the suburbs who feel increasingly that the government is beyond their reach and responsiveness, and a belief that those that they send into office will be true to them and really beyond reproach when it comes to values.
We have 2 minutes and 40 seconds left, but I wanted to ask you this. Implicit in all of this is the fact that you don't think Andrew Cuomo is doing the job. Is that right?
Well, look, when he started in 2011, I think that he took some measures there that actually brought our state together. But what we have seen since that time, there have been some issues that he's brought forward that I have been very vocal in opposing. Look, particularly Common Core. I'm a graduate of public schools myself, and our three kids go to the same school district that I went to years ago. But demonizing teachers is not the answer. Our teachers, they're special. I mean, they already know they're not going to be rich, but they get to be rich at heart and inspiring, inculcating, and yes, educating. So are there issues with education? Of course there are, but we shouldn't start by demonizing teachers. I actually believe that empowerment is the best way to go here. And that means not only in terms of curriculum and pedagogy, but also resources. My record reflects this, not only in the local empowerment, but also the resourcing. Together, there are compounding issues at the federal level and the state level that have led to the schools that are struggling to do better actually being a competitive disadvantage for the resources. That needs to change.
You also, and we have a minute now, but you also talked about the amount of corruption we have in New York. Do you think that's Cuomo's fault?
I don't think he's taken substantial steps to reduce it, although we certainly heard a lot of rhetoric on that early on. And look, I mean, I just fundamentally believe this, that the issue has really been the lack of a viable alternative. I think that stays thought. I think it also inclines towards corruption. And this is one of the passions that I have to help our team. Whether or not I'm a candidate is yet to be seen. But I do believe that myself and my team can make a difference. I just came from a meeting right before this where we talked more about how we're going to help on this, fleshing out the concept, how this would fit underneath the state party, and how I believe ultimately it will address this issue of corruption, and it will help to more economic vitality and a flourishing form of life here where we can reclaim the title of the Empire State.
Congressman Chris Gibson, wonderful to talk to you from New York's 19th District. When we come back, we'll pick it up.
Thank you, Alan. Best wishes to all the listeners out there.